this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. Today we're talking to Bob Chartuck. Is that the way I pronounce it, Bob?
Correct, Ernie.
And he's a man with 31 years of experience in the political arena, and he's got a book, actually, that he's going to talk about, and as well as some of the other things I'm going to probe. And he's would you call yourself a political operative? Is that a bad term?
Yep, a political operative, knowledgeable guy, Long Island politics. I work for the state, federal, and local governments, so I know pretty much what's going on, Ernie.
Okay, now your basic tech take on what you want to do is encourage people to take control of the life that they live through politics.
Yeah,
am I paraphrasing that pretty good?
Yeah, the message is get off the sidelines. There's two type of people. You could hide your head in the sand and not doing anything about it, or you can get involved. And my book encourages people to either run for election themselves or get on a campaign and try to make a difference.
And don't be afraid to ask questions of these people who you hired in the first place. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Make sure your consultants are on board and the people working for you.
No, but I'm saying to you is like, if you get the opportunity to talk to a congressman at a local meeting, don't be shy. And don't be rude. Go out there and just tell them exactly what you think you need and ask them the questions that are pertinent. And your book, it tells you more than that, though, a lot more than that.
Oh, it's a complete guide for winning at the polls. It's a step-by-step per chapter guide on what you need to do to run for election and win.
I don't want to rain on your parade, Bob, but you know, you're telling people to do something that the political parties make it very difficult for you to do, and that's get in the arena. It's not a matter of them being more powerful than you when you're in the arena. They don't even want you in the arena.
Well, when I was researching the book, New York State is a very unique place as far as the elections go, and that's the petition process, Ernie. In order to even get on the ballot, you have to collect many, many petitions, and they are scrutinized, and it's one of the ways that candidates get thrown off the ballot. So if you don't survive the petition process, you don't even get to run for election.
Well, let me ask you this. How would you do it otherwise? Well, what do they do in other states?
Other states, it's still petition process, but not as many. Here in New York, it's hundreds and in some cases thousands. And for the average person, that's hard to do, go out and get that many signatures.
Is that unfair, though, because we have so many more millions of people than we do in South Dakota?
It's unfair in one sense where there's so many needed. I mean, South Dakota, you need X amount of petitions to get on the ballot.
You probably need six people.
Exactly. It's based on percentages of the electorate. And then the other part gets into, and I go over it in the book.
Which is probably 50% of the population.
Is the ability to get knocked off the ballot based on your petitions. So if somebody's name is Jonathan and they sign your petition John, that's an invalid signature. And you can invalidate the whole page of signatures. And there's a lot of court battles that get into that.
So in other words, let's suppose Ernest M. Fazio is the ballot signer. Mm-hmm. I sign it as Ernie Fazio.
You're off. It's an illegitimate signature.
And I do it at the top of the page.
Yeah,
I just screwed everybody underneath me, right?
Yes, sir. There's been some candidates who have put in the wrong name or the wrong seat that they're running for. They say they're running for the town board District 3, and they just put town board. That petition could get knocked off the ballot.
So there are attorneys that specialize in this, aren't there?
Well, that's the benefit of running with the support of a party. A major party has a whole team of attorneys that are going to go ahead and do that. It's so much easier to win an election, Ernie, by getting the other opponent thrown off than actually having an election. So a lot goes into the petition process and all the legalities that are going to put the candidate on the ballot.
So let's suppose I decide to run for Congress next time around.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would be the first thing you would tell me to do? The first thing.
In the book, Ernie, the first chapter is first a little bit of introspection. And there's a quote here, "Everybody wants to be Cary Grant. Even I want to be Cary Grant." Signed, Cary Grant. So the moral of that story is, who are you? Why should the voters vote for you? Do you have a record? Do you have gravitas, as President Clinton would say? What's your main? And I throw those two terms in there as two fancy words we learned in college. And it just means, do you have what it takes? You know, what's your background? Why should the voter vote for you?
I got what it takes, but nobody wants it.
And then the next part, you'd be very successful at this, is look at yourself in the mirror and in 1 minute, explain to yourself, explain to me, explain to the voters who you are and why should they vote for you. And funny, you know, some candidates can't do that.
Well, they need a job.
Well, if that's your motivation, you know, you better work on your background a little bit.
Or get a job at the post office or, you know, at the local garage and turn a wrench.
Yeah, and you want to be involved in your community. If you're running for the town board, say, you want to go to the town board meetings. You want to know what the issues are. You want to know what's going on, how the elected officials operate. It's not just something you can just pop up one day and say, oh, I want to run for election. You need a little bit to go behind it. You need a little career, a little background, a little bit of gravitas.
And but gravitas is one of those immeasurables.
Sure. Well, certain presidents that we had, Clinton, for example, he had it, and people loved him. Same thing with Barack Obama. People loved him.
Did he really have the gravitas? You know, I mean, who has the gravitas to be president? You got to have a great image of yourself beyond anything else, because nobody has the experience.
Oh, absolutely.
And nobody comes to the job with enough experience. Nobody, ever.
And then there's also the idea of you want to make a good first impression. When you meet voters and you meet possible contributors, people that are going to give you money and back you, the first time they see you, Ernie, you want to make a good impression. You have to speak well, dress well, look good. There's a few items in here. Somebody says, oh, let me give you my name and phone number. So you pull out a pen. If you pull out a pen to write down their name and phone number and the end is chewed off, you're not going to come across that good. And that's why...
You saw my pen?
That's why Mont Blanc gets $400 a pen, because that's things like that matter.
You mean the quality of the pen you pull out would be...
Will give an impression of you. Impression. Same thing with your shoes, your clothes. If you're wearing a tie that's wider...
Well, I was an insurance salesman for 30 years. And early in my career... The manager says, if you walk into a client's office and you have jeans on and you have a ripping at the knee and you're the most brilliant insurance man in the world, you have a whole lot to overcome just before you can tell your story.
That's right. And sadly, people judge a book by its cover. And the same thing goes with a candidate, a politician. People will judge you by the cover.
Who is some of your favorite candidates? I don't care about their politics. They may have been with your politics or against your politics. Well, but who actually was a great candidate from day one?
Well, early on in the book, I referenced the late Cesar Trunzo. He was a New York State senator. And I point him out for the example of he went to everything. He went to the Civic Association meeting. If your kid was becoming an Eagle Scout, he went to the dinner and gave him a proclamation. He went to the Historical Society meeting.
But that was after he was elected, right? Or is that before?
He did that leading up. A lot of candidates, if you look in their background, I know Steve Levy, who became county executive, was one of them. You got to get out there. You got to press the flesh, knock on doors, get to meet people. And then when you go to ask them for their vote, you're not a stranger. Same thing in sales. It's sort of like a warm lead. You're not coming in cold. The people have met you. You've been to their organizational meeting.
Well, I made a living selling insurance, not because I was a great salesman, but because I just wore them out.
Well, that's one way to do it. And some politicians,
I'll sign. Just get out of here.
And some politicians will do that as well. Okay, I'll vote for you. Just leave me alone.
Except that we have the secret ballot, and we could say, Bob, I'm voting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like hell I am when I walk out the door.
You may not even vote. And that's a big problem in this country. People don't even vote.
Well, you know, we have been bad at voting in this country. But it becomes worse when we become cynical about the process. And we have a lot of reasons to become cynical, but it's not productive. You know, I think we have to keep the faith, you know. Who said that? Who said that?
One of the presidential candidates, I think.
No, keep the faith was Clayton Powell.
Okay.
Adam Clayton Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw him out of Congress 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And he told his constituents, keep the faith, keep the faith.
I'll be back.
I'll be back. And when he whenever he got back on the ballot, they voted with voted them in with major support.
He even has a street named after him in Harlem, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, everybody was on his case. And actually, he was a pretty good congressman. Mm-hmm. And he was very, very good to the people he served. And didn't much care about what other people thought of him. As long as they didn't have a vote again. They couldn't vote in his district, so he didn't care that about that. Anyway, it's program is called Earnestly Speaking, and I'm Ernie Fazio. I'm talking to Bob Chartok, and he is a political observer and writer and advisor, and he's been in politics for 31 years. I want to thank you for listening. This is 103.9 FM on Long Island News Radio. We'll be back.